Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom, and on this episode of Flesh in the Pan, we just need one time with a monkey wrench.
We grew up in a world of online animation, and we're digging you out for your consideration, bringing you the tunes that made us who we am. Flesh in the Pan. Flesh in the Pan.
And welcome to another long overdue edition of Flash in the Pan.
Welcome back.
This is the podcast where we take the old cartridge of your memories out of the box in your grandma's attic, blow into it a little bit, then try plugging it into the console just to see what comes up on the screen.
Then you'll have to take it out and blow into it again and put it in again.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work.
No, it turns out that's actually not good for your console.
Yeah, it's actually really... Yeah, so what you need to do is you actually... You need to get a Q-tip and put it in, like, alcohol rub and rub that on the contacts to clean them.
Hmm.
But you have to be very careful. It has to be a specific kind of rub. Can't just use any.
Kind
no,
of
really.
Okay.
I've done research on this in the past.
Some rubbing research.
Yes.
Okay.
I've done a lot of rubbing research in the past.
Officer. Yeah, this is a podcast about Flash animation. It's good.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoy it. If you want to watch along with us, which you should, because otherwise you'll be completely lost.
Yeah.
You can go to our website, which is flashinthepancast.com. Where we have links to the stuff we talk about today and all of the previous episodes.
All of them.
All of them,
They're
yeah.
They're all there.
Yeah, until WordPress finally catch on and we just lose everything. So our first cartoon is going to be one of my favourites.
Okay.
And it is a... We're going back to the Mario well to pump out some nutritious water for the townsfolk.
No.
What?
No. No.
It's just a regular well. It just has a Mario hat and moustache on it.
And sometimes if you listen very carefully, you can hear a...
I don't know if the microphone caught that, but we'll find out.
But only after midnight.
Wait, is Mario a gremlin?
Have you seen how tall he is in comparison to humans?
You're right. Mario is
the
a gremlin.
The answer is yes.
You heard it here first. Watch the skies. Anyway, we're going to watch Ignorance is Bliss. Join us, won't you?
I'm a turtle, as you've seen. A little slow and a little green. But on the whole, I'd say super duper.
Princess Toadstool. Just be heightened.
So let's just say,
ignorance is bliss.
And we're back.
That's like one of the better songs ever written about Mario.
It's so catchy.
Yeah, it's pretty good, yeah.
It's so catchy. We will get onto the song proper later on.
Yeah, okay, sure.
So, had you seen this before?
I don't think so, you know?
Okay.
I don't think I did.
I remember watching it way back when it came out, in '06, it would have been.
Yeah, yeah.
Then forgetting about it, except for just the chorus part with the singing Goombas.
Oh, God.
And that was lodged in my brain for like a decade before I went back and refound it a couple of years
that
ago.
That is the worst thing.
Yeah.
When like you can only remember one part of a song,
yep.
But you can't remember any other part of it.
Oh, gosh. So it just reminds me of one of my favourite... clips. It's from a radio show, I think, in Mexico.
Right, okay.
Or at least somewhere Spanish speaking, where this guy calls in and he's asking for a song called Esos son Reeboks or son Nikes? As in, are those Reeboks or Nikes? And people are like, the radio host's like, what are you talking about? And then eventually they realize, oh wait, you mean this is the rhythm of the night? And he's like, yeah, that's it, that's the song.
Well,
that's just genius.
I mean, yes, that's great. Worse than actually being able to remember some of the lyrics is only being able to remember how the tune goes.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, being too embarrassed to actually go up to someone's like, how does that song go? It goes like this. You have to, like, sing it.
Well, especially with a song like this, which is extremely whimsical.
Yes.
Like, this isn't just power pop. This
no,
is... This is... This is kids' movie villain song.
Yeah, either that or it, like, it's either that or it's like come from like a musical, maybe.
Yeah, it's got that. Yeah. It's got the cadence. It's got the structure. It's got the chorus and the overlapping lines in the final chorus, which is really pleasing.
That is it. It was very pleasing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very well constructed as a song.
It is really well constructed as a song. What do we think about it as a cartoon?
I liked it a lot. It was it's very distinctive. It's very, it has its own...
It's got a personality.
Yeah, it's really got its own personality. You wouldn't really see anything else like that back then, I don't think.
In what sense?
In the sense that, like, a lot of stuff back in sort of, like, the early aughts, 2000s, there was kind of, like, a style on Newgrounds, I guess. And this kind of deviates from it a little bit. Especially from... stuff actually surrounding Nintendo characters.
That's true.
That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going. That was my point.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
I quite like it. I think it... I disagree with it being sort of out of place stylistically, because
I don't think it's out of place.
Just
at all.
Rare.
Just different.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it actually kind of reminds me... Especially just in just the shapes of the characters, it kind of reminds me of early 2000s Cartoon Network sort of style.
Definitely. Definitely.
You know, like, I don't know, My Life as a Teenage Robot or something.
Oh my god, yeah.
I don't know why that's the one I went for, but yeah. But just in the combinations of curves and lines that
definitely.
Make up the characters, they all look slightly off, but in a consistent way.
Yeah. No, yeah, I get you.
Yeah, I like the design of Princess Toadstool in this. How she's kind of haggard looking.
Yeah, yeah, I feel like that would be a more accurate and realistic representation of the princess.
Yeah, in terms of representation, like I think this is the most like outside of you know fan fictions and fan animations where Bowser is essentially Satan. I think this is one of the more evil depictions of him.
Yeah,
I think.
I was also going to say that. This gives him way more agency as a bad guy than any of the Nintendo games.
He's not just like, you know, capturing a princess for, I don't know, for prestige or for love. He's
doing it for oil?
He wants to genocide all of the Yoshis in Dinosaur Land. And turn them into fossil fuel, which makes sense because it's made of dinosaurs. But yeah, and you get shots of her over Peach looking out over this like blighted wasteland full of oil wells.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it's a very 2006 villain thing.
Yeah. Definitely.
But at the same time, it's also a very early 90s Captain Planet villain thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I told you that the song came out on a CD in 1993...
It didn't.
It did.
Oh my god.
The song's from 1993.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we can get on more to that later, because I have some stuff that might mildly blow your mind.
Okay, yeah.
Or at least, like, pop it slightly.
Go for it. Yeah definitely. I'm looking forward to that.
So stuff that, because I've watched this more than a few times,
sure.
It brings me a lot of pleasure just watching it, because it's just...
It's great.
It's fun, it's upbeat, it's peppy, it's gleefully villainous.
Yeah.
I also kind of like how Bowser is characterized, part Oil Baron, but part, like, Gaston from Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
You're, like, complaining that you read too much. You're a brainiac.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird characterization.
It is a little bit, yeah.
That doesn't seem to be based on much. Even in the terrible, you know, Mario Bros. Super Show cartoons and so on, like, I mean, Bowser's not exactly smart, but nor is anyone else.
That's incredibly true. They're all a bit dim in the Super Mario Bros. Super Show.
I don't know. Princess Toadstool. Princess Toadstool.
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 Yeah.
She is... probably the most together, but even then, like, she's not exactly a bookworm.
No.
So, again, I don't know where that characterization came from.
I don't know, maybe it's just kind of, like, a leap of logic. Like, okay, so you're in a position of power, therefore it means you have to be very well educated.
Possibly. Oh, you think it's a class thing?
Yeah.
I see, I see. You think that Bowser's calling her bourgeois?
I mean,
she is very...
Is she wrong?
I mean, there are a few things more bougie than having your own kingdom.
And wearing a crown. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I like that he renames Dinosaur Land just Oil Land.
that's very unoriginal.
I like that there's a cameo from Twink from Paper Mario.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The little star child.
Yeah, I remember that. I thought it was just a star.
Oh, you haven't played the first Paper Mario, have you?
A bit. I played a bit of it.
Not enough to meet Twink.
No, I have. I played enough to meet that character.
Okay, fine.
And break down over the name of the character.
Well, what's wrong with the name Twink?
Unrelated.
You know, like Twinkle. Like Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Unrelated.
Stars Twinkle.
Unrelated reasons.
Unrelated reasons? What? Like like the food, Twinkies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, that's what I started laughing and I was like, I will really go for a hostess Twinkie right now.
two more signs I enjoyed. And that's an odd fit. That's an odd sentence. But
go on.
About halfway through, Bowser has got Peach descending into, quote, a hot tub of oil.
Yep.
Which I enjoyed. And also when Peach is being chased by, like, Mario and the Yoshi Stampede at the end, one of the Yoshis is holding a sign that just says, "The system is broke." And that's a mood.
It ain't wrong. The system is broke.
Yeah, Comrade Yoshi.
Comrade Yoshi will lead us in the coming revolution.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. I think you can see where a lot of shortcuts were used. It's particularly in the later parts of the animation where, like, all the Goombas together are sort of, like, melded in this one mass that's being manipulated on its own.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. But, like it's pretty good. Like, the lip sync is well done.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's got some really fun camera work. It's really well synced to the music as well, which I like.
Yeah,
The top hat Goombas in general, that's just a great visual.
Yeah.
I mean, like, anything as small and unassuming as a Goomba wearing a top hat, as we learned in Mario Odyssey.
I don't think any Goombas actually do wear a top hat in Mario Odyssey.
What? Even at the wedding scene?
Now that's a good point. It's been a while,
uh-huh.
So I don't 100% remember.
I'm gonna find out.
Look it up.
Okay. Inconclusive.
Don't know. Not
okay.
sure.
Well,
maybe.
Anyway.
Must do my own research later.
Yeah, but Goombas in hats, I am for.
Yeah, I'm very pro Goomba in hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Especially the ones with the little worker hat, the little hard hat.
Oh, with the little... Oh, what, like Goombella in Thousand Year Door?
Yes. Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, would you like to learn a little bit about this song? As we step into a bit of a flash.
Go on. Yeah.
Okay, and Tim Allen is in the building. Oh, don't worry, he's been taken out by security. So you may wonder why Bowser wants to be an oil baron.
Right.
So this song is by a band called Jellyfish. The song appeared on the 1991 album, Nintendo White Knuckle Scorin', which is a compilation album released by Nintendo.
Uh-huh. They okayed this?
They commissioned this. Ignorance is Bliss is the only song on the album to have anything to do with Mario. The album also includes songs like I Drove All Night by Roy Orbison and Forever Friends by Sheena Easton.
What?
Yep.
What?
Yep. The album artwork is great.
Oh, God. Look at that.
It is a bunch of cool teens sitting around playing Mario, and there's like a cool cartoon Mario punching a Goomba on the TV.
What is that girl doing? Get off the television.
She just wants to gaze into Mario's eyes.
You'll get square eyes doing that. You're so close to the TV.
But yeah, it's... The album is fine, but Ignorance is Bliss is by far the highlight.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's great.
So it's performed by Jellyfish, who are, or were rather, one of the most influential power pop acts the early 90s.
Okay.
They only had a brief career of like 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Only released a couple of albums, but their influence was heavily felt.
Okay.
And you can see it going all the way up to, like, the post-emo kind of sound.
Right.
I don't even know how to describe them. They just have a real sense of charisma, a real sense of fun.
Right, yeah.
They're just good. Yeah. One of them ended up writing for, like, Teen Titans for music.
Nice.
And Ben 10 and so on, yeah. But no, if you like this song, then check out the rest of their work, because it's all pretty good, I am.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And, yeah, Nintendo commissioned this song from them.
What the fuck?
And in the liner notes for the CD, there is a little cartoon, which was voice acted by the creators of this Flash at the beginning, in which Bowser says that he's going to join OPEC, the coalition of oil companies.
Oh my god.
and then to save face, Bowser does this villain song about how it's okay to be an idiot.
Because ignorance is bliss.
Because ignorance is bliss. Okay. And it even says in the original comic, song cue.
That's like word for word.
I know, right? It's kind of rad. So that's strange.
Yeah, definitely. So, oh my god, huh? So there was a comic that Nintendo okayed.
The comic is included with the CD.
Right, oh.
It's part of the liner notes.
See,
yes.
Right. So the person who made the animation then must have had this CD.
Yes.
And, like, remembered it, or maybe they were working on this for a while.
Uh-huh.
And then they just used the album insert as, like, the okay, I'm gonna, yeah.
It's very possible.
Yeah.
Or maybe, I don't know how much actual airplay Ignorance is Bliss got. Maybe it got played on, like, the Dr. Demento show or something.
Maybe, yeah.
Or just went around, you know, like, early LimeWire things.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, it's...
Several things went around early LimeWire.
That's true.
Including many Trojans.
That's very true. So, speaking of the animator himself went by Bug, a.k.a. Big Army Bug.
Okay.
A.k.a. Brandon Clark. However, in about 2013, Big Army Bug / Brandon Clark wiped everything from their Newgrounds, etc., etc., etc.
Okay.
They were very prolific.
Yeah.
For a good 4 or 5 years on Newgrounds. Like, we're talking between 3 and 6 Flash animations a year for a while.
Yeah.
Lots of collaborations, lots of one-off gag things, longer projects, like a lot of dick and fart jokes, as you'd expect.
Yeah, that's about what you expect.
And a lot of news posts as well, with like a lot of snark about and in-jokes.
Well,
and
it was the 2000s, the early 2000s.
Yeah, and general kvetching about like Newgrounds culture and so on.
Yeah, oh my god, that's early 2000s as fuck.
Well, yeah, well, mid-2000s, but definitely,
yeah, that's
yes.
Mid-aughts as hell. Like, I remember like doing shit exactly like that. Except I don't think it was posted anywhere, it was all contained entirely.
Some of it is extremely bitter.
Yeah.
Like this post in particular, from 2007, where they say, "Hi everyone, I'm a 14-year-old who just started high school, and upon finishing my short film, Super Flatman in Flat Zone, I was hired by the biggest studio in town."
Ooh.
Signed, Liar X Adjurate.
I mean, I've seen Twitter posts like that.
I know, yeah. So clearly there's a lot of frustration about not being able to go legit. Because at the same time as this, as they were working, a bit after this, in like the late 2000s, he was also working on like animation demo reels. One of which survives on Vimeo, which is Demo Reel V4, which is from, I think, 2009.
Yeah.
And was vaguely described way back on Clark's WordPress account, which again has since been deleted. So I have no idea what they're doing nowadays. But until about 6 years ago, they had aspirations of being a legit animation person.
And now they've just dropped off the face of the of just of just the,
that's what it
no,
seems like.
Wiped, no trace of them. No deviations.
Wiped DeviantArt. Wiped WordPress. Wiped Newgrounds.
Someone's like, guess he moved.
Yeah,
I'd say.
Yeah. So it's just Brandon Clark, if you're out there, then like
get in touch,
say hi, because
we want to know what you're doing because your cartoon's like really cool, and it's a shame that you got rid of everything. I mean, I'm sure there was a legit reason.
It's possible, yeah.
But yeah, wow.
Like it's
just nothing.
And with a name as generic as Bug, it's just been very difficult to find much information about them. Let's do some comments.
Okay.
So I've got a couple here. The first one we have is because of the way the Internet Archive saves Newgrounds pages, a lot of the comments were inaccessible.
Right, okay.
But I got a few.
Okay.
So this is by Google Topa in October 2012, who said, "Ha ha ha, on second thought, you have a point, XD. Anyway, I've seen this multiple times since it first came out, and it's still the bomb. I'm glad I found it again."
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, go you. Yeah. Go you, Google Topa.
So we have Dragonbeam, who gave it 5 out of 5 in September 2006. He said, I can't stop humming it. Rally catchy, it's really funny. No, hilarious, you are good at making these music vids. The best part is when the Yoshi holding up the system is broke sign for Rizzle.
For Rizzle is exactly right, Dragon Beam. I think we're on the same page. We're like that. Simpatico.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Dragon Beam, please write in. You seem cool. The Grand Magister. You have to pronounce it that way.
Yeah,
the Grand Magister in November 2011 also gave it 5 stars and said, "Well done. I will be listening to this song when I take over the world. It will be bliss." Loved it.
Okay.
Right, so that's
threatening.
Okay, cool.
Points for a threatening factor. I don't think we've had that in a comment before.
Not on this scale.
Not like that.
No.
Reefer. He didn't like it at all. No, 0 stars out of 5. In 2012, he said, "My new nightmare. This leave me a nightmare." About draw Pito chat movie, and that movie includes Goombas and Yoshis. I was in me dream. The Goombas are drowning me dog, and me money with him, and Yoshis ate me, and Mario zombie bite me mom, but that's another history. Okay.
What?
Sure.
Thanks, Reefer.
Thanks for that one.
Yep. That's really good.
That's great.
And we've got a couple of comments from YouTube.
Okay.
Which are the first one's from 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Matthew Aaron said, "At 1:15, I always liked how the camera moves around like that. Also, the whole concept of Bowser being an oil tycoon and the art style makes me think that it wouldn't be out of place in a mid-2000s cartoon, like The X's or My Life as a Teenage Robot."
Wow.
"Anyone remember these shows? Those shows rocked."
Wow.
I don't think I ever saw the X's.
No, I never saw the X's.
Hmm. And finally, Smash S24, 2 months ago, said,
"One day my fucking brain just triggered a memory of singing Goombas with Top Hat, and it took me 1 week to find this. Ah, at last, I watched this when I was 7 or 8 years old. Now I'm 18. How time passes fast. Edit, by the way, watched it on Newgrounds."
Ah. Memories. Memories, they smash S64.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's Ignorance is Bliss. That's nice. Bug / Big Army Blug. Big Army Blug?
Big Army Bug.
Big Army Bug. And I thought that was really fun.
That was really fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. And hopefully you will too.
Yeah.
The cartoon has since been uploaded to YouTube in HD, though not by Brandon Clark himself.
Someone called Patrick.
Yeah, someone called Patrick. It's also been uploaded by the Pop Punk channel.
Hell yeah.
So that's Ignorance is Bliss.
That's that. Well, that was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I'm glad I got to share that with you.
Yeah.
And with you, listeners.
Haha, hey.
Moral of the story is don't be an oil tycoon.
Don't delete all your work.
Probably don't delete,
don't delete
all,
all
work.
Your work.
And definitely check out the music of Jellyfish.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So the next thing we have lined up is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because I had it on the list of stuff that people had recommended us.
Yes.
I cannot for the life of me remember who recommended it to us.
No, but it's been on the list for a while.
It has been on the list for a while. So whoever you are, if you suggested the following cartoons to us, which is we're going to watch a couple of Tomorrow's Nobodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From way back in 2004, I believe.
2004, yeah. Yeah.
And if you're responsible for us watching this, then get in touch.
It's probably someone who listens.
Maybe I was asleep and I wrote it while I was asleep. And it just happened that I typed out a phrase that was actually a flash cartoon. I don't know. I have no recollection of this myself. And you said that you hadn't watched this either, so we're going...
I have seen it before.
Okay.
I don't remember when or where.
Cool.
But... part of my brain is telling me that I have seen this before somewhere.
Well then, I guess we'll find out as we delve into the first two episodes of Tomorrow's Nobodies.
All inventors are welcome, including special guest, the inventor of the pet rock. Ooh!
Ooh. That's this Saturday.
Not Sunday.
That's tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they can't all be zingers.
That sucked.
It was really bad.
I said it was gonna suck. I told you. I fucking told you. Maybe that's why I kind of half remember it.
Okay.
But not a lot, because I remember it fucking sucked.
Okay.
Okay. My brain is trying to protect me.
I agree with you. Yeah. Let's wind it back.
Okay, sure.
And let's talk about the premise.
Okay. Right. So, there are three guys.
Yep.
And there you go.
There are three guys who are 20 something,
yeah,
and they share an apartment house thing.
Yeah.
One of them is the wacky asshole sex pest.
Yeah.
One of them is just really lazy.
Yeah.
But also the sensible one.
Yeah.
And the other one exists.
Yes, he does. He sure exists.
They also have a friend called Chris.
He's there.
Yeah. So, this is a genre of flash animations that you saw doing their best to take off in the early to mid-2000s, which is a sitcom about me and my cool friends.
Some of them worked.
Some of them did work. I mean, stuff like Ed's World really worked.
Look at Ed's World.
Stuff like Bonus Stage, which we'll get to in the future. Oh, yeah. This had some chops and a real following back in the day.
Right,
like, if you go to the Newgrounds page for the series, right, all of the installations have over 200,000 views.
Yeah.
So this was popular, and these came out in 2004. Yep. Right.
Mm-hmm.
In 2004, getting 250,000 views on something was very impressive.
Yep.
So clearly it was filling a niche for people.
Yeah.
That niche appears to be very, very lazy, derivative humor.
Yeah.
That is one part Family Guy and
two parts Family Guy. Go on, no, two parts.
Well, I was going to say one part Family Guy, one part the Clerks animated series.
God, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it feels like... it's interesting because tonally it feels like Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which didn't air, which didn't start airing until a year after this.
Yeah.
So clearly Always Sunny was tapping into this kind of, like, it's a show about assholes zeitgeist. I mean, Two and a Half Men was already a thing.
Yes, but It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia kind of came at that angle completely differently.
Oh, no. Oh, totally. Yeah. If I didn't know when this came out, I would have said, they've watched them Always Sunny and they've missed the point.
Yeah.
It also reminds me of the PFR guys, the folks that put out stuff like Wonder Chosen. The Hachi Holler.
Not familiar with that one.
Anyway, Adult Swim
definitely.
Edgy, but not in an interesting way edgy. I mean, PFR are a lot better than that generally, but this This, yeah, this
Slim
is
better than that, generally.
Yeah, but this is definitely the younger Gen X nihilism of the early 2000s as a show. It's interesting because, I mean, obviously, like, the mic quality is bad, but then it was, like, 2004.
That was true for everyone.
Yeah.
So we can't really mark people down for that.
No, but it seems to, especially in the first episode with the way it does its music, it seems to kind of revel in this deliberate low-effort style.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a... That's kind, you can kind of applaud them for that. Kind of.
In a sense.
Yeah. Like, they fully lent into it. Like, they knew it was bad, and they were just like, fuck it. Let's just really embrace it.
I think it might be, like, for a laugh.
Yeah.
It might be for a joke, like, haha, isn't this terrible?
Yeah.
But haha, isn't this terrible? It could only get you so far. Yeah. We're being really mean about this. What did we like about this?
There were some jokes that landed.
There were a couple of jokes that landed.
Like the guy who lit his cigarette. He's like, so in the second episode...
Yeah. Oh, so let's start with the first episode.
Yeah, go on.
Then.
Okay.
So the first episode is a pretty tried and true comedy sitcom episode where, aha, the gang come up with cool inventions.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like one of the best Simpsons episodes is the one where Homer decides to be an inventor.
Yeah.
He comes up with stuff like the makeup gun. You know?
Yes.
Yeah. So in this one, David, who's the only one whose name I remember.
Yeah.
There's Mike as well.
He's anyway, the main one.
David, who seems to be the main one, who looks like Adam Driver. He does, though. I'm sorry, Adam Driver, if you're listening.
Oh,
but,
God.
But this cartoon asshole does look a bit like you.
How could you do that to Adam?
I'm sorry, I can't not see him as...
God.
Well, anyway...
I mean, Kylo Ren is definitely... Like, this is definitely something he would have watched.
Oh, no.
But, yeah.
Yeah, so David, the Kylo Ren one, he keeps buying stuff online.
Off
the TV.
Off the television.
This is
too early for that.
So yeah, because of an infomercial for something called the Nispy,
Nispy.
And the joke is, it looks like a doorstop, but it's got a hole in it.
Yeah.
And you can use it for anything. It's a funny joke product thing.
Yeah.
The joke is that at the end of the advert, they say, Nispy. And it sounds like
penis.
Yeah.
And that's very funny.
And they've got
funny.
Another one that's called vagina, but not.
Yeah.
Because, anyway... and so they decide that they can make loads of money off inventions. And it turns out, and this is one of the jokes I enjoyed because it's just very pleasing, which is the advert for the invention convention, which is just all rhymes and I like it.
Yeah. That's good.
It appeals to like the 5-year-old part of my brain.
Yeah.
So they decide to come up with inventions. David comes up with the invention. Oh, it's a homeless guy in a box who wipes your ass. And the joke is, ha-ha, homeless.
They'll do anything for money.
Yep, that's basically it.
Because they don't have any.
That is... Oh, it's... Oh, my sides have split wide open.
I have ascended.
also, there's like a bad... like generic Asian accent in this one, which I guess, and the joke is, there's a bad Asian accent happening.
He English isn't his first language. Ha 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 ha.
Shrug. There's a really long cutaway joke about nose hair trimmers that set one of them on fire.
Oh, well,
and one
I
of them loses
that.
His face.
I enjoyed that.
And then David, he just like his pants fall down, and he's upset.
That's good.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah.
Okay.
That was a joke I enjoyed.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Also, David owns a poster that says the top 10 reasons why I don't date fat chicks.
All 10 reasons are
because she's fat. Yeah. Also, in episode 2, that poster shows up on his wall sideways, so I don't know what's going on there. Anyway, yeah,
fuck knows.
And they're like, no fat chicks is about the level we're dealing with here, folks. It's. Anyway, it turns out that nobody likes the cool invention they made. Although, at the invention convention, I did enjoy that there were just these jocks there, and their invention is just their friend Tony, who they really like.
Buy our friend Tony, yeah!
Yeah! And then someone buys Tony.
Yes.
That was sweet.
Also, I enjoyed the joke about the girl being like, so they invented an engine, no, a carburetor?
Yeah, a carburetor that lets your car run on water.
And I did enjoy the joke of the girl who was like, think about the oil companies that will suffer.
Yeah, think about those poor billionaire oil tycoons.
Yeah, which is an extreme mood for 2019.
And for 2004.
And for 2004.
Yeah.
Actually, every year from 2004
to
now.
Well, I mean, 2004, they had an oil tycoon in the White House.
Anyway.
Actually, several. Yeah, and then the episode ends with, oh, well, nobody wanted their invention and it got broken. Let's all go home. Oh, no, someone on QVC or equivalent is selling their own version of the homeless man in a box who wipes your ass. And David buys seven. Yeah. Yeah, episode two is both better and worse.
Somehow. Impressively.
Well, it's definitely slightly higher quality animation. There is more going on visually in episode two by far.
Definitely.
Because a lot of the sets and set pieces are very static and very bland and the colouring is very washed out.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. Yeah. And I think it's meant to give it more of like a realisticness or at least like a not to feel too cartoony.
Maybe it's kind of conveying the mood of the animation or some shit like that.
Maybe something like that. So the premise for the second episode is, do you want to go with it?
So the premise is, there are three guys.
Yeah.
And that's it.
What happens to one of the guys?
So the premise, oh my god, I've just remembered what the premise is.
Yeah.
Okay, so the premise is that one of the guys...
David. Yeah.
The one who looks like Adam Driver is having... Well, I was going to say he's having sex with a blow-up doll.
He's attempting to have sex with a blow-up doll.
Quite clearly, when it cuts away, he's still got his pants on.
Yeah, well, that's part of the joke. He's like, oh baby, this would be a lot easier if you took off your pants.
Right, I missed that.
Yeah.
I was still recovering from the previous
episode. That's fair.
And then like so he's doing that, and then like he knocks over
some candles,
and then he sets fire to the apartment.
His own hand.
It's a sex accident.
Sex accidents can be incredibly funny.
Yes, they can.
However, this is not one of them.
This is not funny.
Yeah, and also he's just like really mean.
Yeah,
to his love doll.
After he sets fire to the apartment and he sets fire to his own hand, he then insults the doll.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Like that's clearly meant to be part of his character. But
yeah,
it's just unpleasant. You know?
Yeah, I know this is a fictitious character. But it's your own fucking fault.
Yeah. Anyway, he runs out of the house with his hand on fire.
Still on fire, which is much of the joke.
The joke is that his hand is perpetually on fire.
Yeah, and then he goes to his friend to try and help him, and he sets his other hand on fire.
Yep. He and sets fire to a dog who sets fire to a little girl.
And then he has two hands that are on fire, which makes it extra funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean... It is, like, again, like, the premise is not bad. Like, just running around with your hands on fire and thus being a danger to yourself and others.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot you can do with it. And a couple of the jokes they do with it are not bad.
But that's, like, the beginning of, like, a spider diagram when you're trying to make a comedy episode. You start with hands on fire and then you go from there.
No, this explores many avenues of... What if your hands were on fire?
Okay, yeah.
And you wouldn't take any advice to actually put them out properly.
No, yeah.
At one point, he's running. The one joke that actually got a proper laugh from me was when he's running full tilt with his hands on fire, and this old guy says, "Now just stop right there, young man," and he just leans in and lights a cigarette off his hand. That was great. No, that I was liked good. That. More of that, please.
Yeah, that was a funny joke.
Yeah, I want that old man to have his own series.
It was subverted expectations.
There you go. But that's the thing, that a lot of comedy comes from subverted expectations.
Yeah.
There is very little in this episode that is not very predictable.
Yep.
So, like, as soon as a gay bar is mentioned, we know that, yes, he's going to go into a gay bar, and he's going to get hit on by a gay, and he's going to run out, and he's going to be scared.
It's incredible. It's actually, like, fully incredible to me that, oh no, a man was attracted to me, and yep. I am a man,
yep.
was funny at some point.
Apparently, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Gay panic is
how far we have come.
For the most
part. Mostly. Gay rights.
Yeah, so he sets fire to the gay club by accident, and then he's being pursued by the police as a hate crime.
It's a hate crime, yeah.
The joke is that, it happened by accident, but it's being treated like a hate crime? I don't know.
Don't forget the bar's called Flamers.
It is called Flamers, which honestly is not a bad name for a gay bar.
That's pretty good.
Let's be honest.
Double funny because both his hands are on fire.
Are on fire. Well, that's why he goes in.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, he meets this like naked black guy in an alley.
That's the joke. He's naked.
He's naked, and he seems to try and give him some advice, but he does listen, but the advice is
stop, drop, and
roll. The advice is stop, drop, and roll. But he never learned that because, as we learn in a long flashback. The video he watched at school with Rex, the fire safety dinosaur.
Who is the best part of both episodes.
Who's the best part of everything. Yeah. He starts laughing because Rex gets set on fire and he doesn't get to watch the rest of the film, and so he never learns about fire safety, and so he can't put out his own hands.
Yeah.
And so, eventually he runs into a mall or a school.
The school.
That's right. He runs into a
school. He goes back to the school because...
He goes back to a school, to the school to find the original film so he can finally watch it and put right what once went wrong, but it doesn't work, and that's the end.
Yeah.
Other jokes you have in the episode, the elementary school is called We Banged Your Mum, but they're not spelt like that, but they're still...
We Banged Your Mum.
Yeah,
mom,
but it's like, hey, oh no, where's David? We banged your mum. Yeah. Yep, that's about what we're dealing with. There's a thing with, what is it, Chris, Mike?
I don't fucking know.
I don't remember. Look, we've already given this too much discussion. But one thing, before we get into the Flash R, and before we sum up and get into the Flash R, one thing I do want to point out is so in the first episode we have just a really bad half-assed theme tune. In the second episode, we have some truly abysmal digital hardcore.
Yes.
And it fills my heart with how bad it is.
Okay. Right, yeah.
And then it's totally out of place for, like, a mediocre sitcom.
It really is.
But it's also really evocative of the tone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know,
yeah,
in that it's just, like, noise and fury wrapped up in a mediocre package.
Noise and fury signify nothing.
Well, signifying that gay people. It's a shame. It is a shame. Because there are nuggets of good things here.
Yep.
There is a handful of decent gags.
Yeah.
But in 16 minutes, laughing four times, it's not worth it.
That's bad.
No.
That's going back to the drawing board time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we might as well learn a bit about the people behind that drawing board.
Yes, why don't we learn a little bit about Wasabur in the Flash? Or should it be...
Yeah, Flash! Wow!
Yeah, exactly. Right, okay, let me see what I have here. So, Tomorrow's Nobodies. It was created by Eric Friedman and Ben Saunders.
Mm-hmm.
So, the episode one that we watched, it was released July 2004, And it was actually remade. So this is the like the remade version.
Yes, originally it started in 2002.
So the remade version of the series, it ran for only 5 episodes in 2002.
Yeah, but 5 episodes is not bad for a Newgrounds series.
In 2002, especially. Yeah. At first glance, the original series skipped over episode 3, and it had gone from 1 to 2.1 to 2.2, and then straight to episode 4.
Okay.
Which would be very funny if that had been intentional. I'm looking at you, Orphan House.
Wait, did you just give Orphan House praise for something?
That was a funny joke, though. We have we got
Alex?
Have
you've
we got
you've grown up so much.
I mean, I didn't dislike Orphan House.
Your brain did. Your brain hated it.
It was just a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, on further inspection, I believe it may have been removed due to anti-Semitism.
What?
Because there is a reference in the comments to something called G.I. Jew.
Oh, no.
There were a lot of comments on episode 1 and 2 of the remade version of Tomorrow's Nobodies saying, where are the Jew jokes?
For fuck's sake!
By the way, finding comments, just as a side note for this, was really hard. Because of that, and also because, like, nearly everybody was just complaining about how they didn't like the new style.
Okay. Well, maybe in future we'll explore the original art style if you want us to, listeners.
Maybe. Mostly just looked up stuff for episode 1. So episode 1 got daily 2nd place.
Yeah.
And weekly 5th place.
Yeah, this was a big deal.
So nowadays...
Yep.
Still going. Still, well, not Tomorrow's Nobodies, but... well, I guess, yeah. They're still active on YouTube under a Tomorrow's Nobody's moniker.
Okay.
But the actual show itself seems to have stopped at some point in the past.
Okay.
Their latest upload to YouTube was just 2 months ago.
So that would be March 2019.
March 2019. So they're now working on a Kickstarter-funded series called Court Ordered.
Okay. Is it a legal drama?
I don't know. The thumbnail looked like it was, like, someone drinking in a car. Like, alcohol in a, drinking in a car.
I mean, that's what watching these made me want to do.
Yeah.
And I don't drink
you don't
or
drink.
Drive.
Yeah. I found a LinkedIn page where they state, between us, we have worked with everyone from Nickelodeon and Disney to the Coen brothers, Mattel, and Dunkin' Donuts.
I'm sorry, the Coen brothers?
Apparently.
The Coen brothers?
According to them on LinkedIn in, like, 2002. I don't know. I don't know. That's just
how old were they when they made these?
I'm not sure, because it's like, this is like a collaborative effort.
Right.
So, like, there's no date of birth for, you know, it's like, yeah. So they also appear to be friends with Channel Frederator on YouTube.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Channel Frederator is in, you know, Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
Remember them from Cartoon Network?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Side note, when just idly scrolling through the YouTube videos they recently uploaded, I did find 2 with explicit references to pee.
To pee?
Pee.
Well... fine.
They haven't, like, just I didn't actually watch any of the new stuff, but just looking at it was like, this looks like it sucks. This looks like it sucks.
Well, if it doesn't suck, then good.
But it's very likely that it does. Like,
I mean, okay, like,
just to paint a picture, that on YouTube, so they've got, like, the big banner on their page.
Yeah.
And part of the banner is, like, it's all the guys behind Tomorrow's Nobodies, and they're, like, behind the Tomorrow's Nobodies logo.
Uh-huh.
And one guy's, like, reaching down, and he looks, like, really sad. And it's because there's a pair of tits with wings flying away from him.
Oh, my goodness.
So, it's not gotten any better.
Well...
I mean, maybe...
It's been 15 years.
Maybe they
maybe some parts of it have...
in a little bit on the homophobia.
I hope so.
Hopefully. But the content probably is not that much, but I don't know. I'd have to actually go and watch it, but I really don't
Maybe in future. maybe in future. We'll do it. Tomorrow's Nobodies, then and now.
Where are they now? What are they doing? What's happening now?
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Nobodies.
Well, you just told us.
I did.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Well, cool. We got some time for some comments.
Yeah. I didn't find many. As I said, finding them was a chore.
That's fine. We've only got a couple, but yep. That's fine. So, Hercoel in... Oh, bloody hell. March 31st, 2019 said, "My lord, this isn't nearly as funny now that I'm no longer 13.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That pretty much sums it up. Irk Jabe in August 2007 said, "Movie clips. Why do these episodes consist of movie clips?" I think somebody needs to tell him how Flash works.
I don't understand.
You see, in order to make the video for the internet, you have to...
Maybe Irk Jabe means, like, the cutaway jokes?
Maybe.
Because it, you know, like a clip show?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Valshik in 2004, so just after this came out.
Yes.
Said, "New grounds. About to die. Well, the end is here. This gets the top 10, and well, we all know Newgrounds is about to go the wacky of the dudo." I read that before my brain processed what I was saying. Okay, the wacky of the dudo. It is over humor. Do not forget it. Action. Do not forget it. Creativity. Do not forget it. This is better than Zombie, Britann Wood, etc. Over. Eat more peas, Vashnik.
He signed every post he made back then with "eat more peas" and then his name. Because I saw more than one by him which said "eat more peas."
Well, that's responsible.
Vashnik.
Look, if you're going to be gimmick posting, then "eat more peas" is pretty mundane and pretty benign.
That's true.
Yeah.
Finally, we have "you queer."
Me queer?
You queer.
I guess so.
I guess so. In October of 2004, they said, "I got a good invention too. Instead of the ass wiping thing, I have the pussy wiping, and I use my mouth. Ha ha ha. Only pretty girls." So, if you're a girl with a vagina and you'd like to take "you queer" up on his offer, comment is still there.
I wasn't expecting this episode to be so blue.
I love that. It's like an actual, like, yeah. I'm down to go down, ladies. I know what's up.
Goodness me. Anyway, we've got a little bit of time for some emails.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of time for some emails. So it was my birthday, and I got a few lovely birthday messages.
Yay.
An example is from Evan. Evan wrote in to say, "Happy birthday to Thomas. Thanks for the flashbacks."
I see what you did there.
Yeah. "To a time of weirdness I was barely old enough or too young to experience."
Well, we're glad to be a given doing
we're
this.
Educating the youth.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I know, right? I don't know if I'm ready for that kind of responsibility, yeah. But it's too late now.
Too late now.
And Jasmine wrote in saying, "Happy birthday, Tom. Lots of loving hugs. I hope you have a great day." Aww.
Aww.
Jasmine also said, "What are your favourite birthday gifts you've gotten over the years?"
Babysitting Mama.
Did you actually get a copy of Babysitting Mama?
Yeah, my friend Rob, it was like my 23rd or my 24th birthday, got me Babysitting Mama.
Wow.
Yeah. And I opened it in a public place. That was an experience I will never forget.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Gosh, for my recent birthday, one of my sisters got me some socks, which say "video game socks" on them.
Good. Excellent. She knows you well.
Which, I mean, like, of all the presents, I got some nice things. A couple of nice books, a couple of DVDs, but no, the gamer socks, the video game socks are, like, really up there.
Gamers rise up.
Yeah. And, oh, dear.
Sorry.
Well, if the gamers rise up too far, then it might cut off the circulation in your legs.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. Also, another one I remember was way back when I was like 4 or 5, I did get the Thunderbirds full Tracy Island playset.
Yes. Oh, yes, I had that too. Oh, my God, that was so good.
I was the envy of most of my class. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it was so good, though.
So good.
Thunderbirds was amazing.
The hangar for Thunderbirds. It had the hangar. Too.
Yeah, you press the button and like the trees part so that it can take off.
Yeah. Man, that was cool.
Only 90s kids will understand.
Actually, though, like, yeah. Oh, God. I know. I've had a lot of, like, really, actually really good and thoughtful presents.
That's nice.
But that is the one that immediately jumps out.
Yeah, because it was just, it was an event.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what? I think we should open this up to some of our listeners. I think, listeners, this is your prompt. Wii U, that's the prompt signal.
Okay.
We need to get a better one.
We do,
If you would like to write in and tell us about your favourite birthday gifts or birthday experiences, let's say, then you can, or if you want to write in about anything else, then you can do so to our email address, which is flashinthepancast@gmail.com. And hey, you could have your email read out, just like Jasmine or Evan. Wouldn't that be cool? You can call home and tell them the good news.
Yes.
Yes.
This obscure podcast, they said who I was and then read my words.
You know what? Like, you know what? Tell your family about the podcast. Yeah. We need more subscribers.
Please.
Please.
Please like and subscribe.
So, speaking of that, thank you for your emails and thank you for listening. This podcast is brought to you by the letter F and the number 69.
Nice.
Nice.
And also F to pay respects.
To... Alex, where can people find you on the internet?
you can find me on Twitter at DEX01. All my tweets are there. You can find me on youtube.com/VNDLP. You can find my music at liz@bandcamp.com/AlexValentine.
You've got a new album dropping soon.
I have
a
new album. I have a small indie record label who want me to make the album for them, and I said yes. And then I was like, oh God, I have to actually write the rest of the album now. So now that's what I'm doing. Also, I have music on Spotify. If you look for Alexandra Valentine on Spotify, you will find my music.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at Gertrude Perkins. That's Gertrude PRKNS.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find links to other stuff I've been doing there.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to follow the show on Twitter, that's FlashITPancast or FlashItPancast. Our website again is flashinthepancast.com. This has been Flash in the Pan. It will hopefully not be as long before we see you again.
Yeah, hopefully.
Until next time, I've been Tom.
I've been Alex.
And remember, Newgrounds is about to go the wacky of the dodo.
I knew you were going to do that. Plan this piece of crap.